Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Jack Lepiarz in for Lisa Mullins. The story of Durrell Jones, the man serving a life sentence for a Brockton murder he says he did not commit, is taking another turn. Today, in a Plymouth courtroom, a judge heard from one of the jurors who convicted Jones 31 years ago, a juror who claims that racial bias played a role in Jones' conviction. She originally made those statements to WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, who was at today's hearing and joins us now in studio. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Jack.
So, Bruce, this was an unusual hearing. Can you bring us up to speed here?
Oh, yeah, to say the least. There is a lot about this case that's unusual. 3 decades ago, none of the eyewitnesses could ID Jones in the courtroom. He didn't match their descriptions. And as attorneys allege, a key piece of video evidence may have been deliberately altered by Brockton police. So now they're trying to convince Judge Thomas McGuire to give him a new trial.
So let's talk about today's testimony. It did not deal with that evidence, but a juror actually from the original trial.
That's right. It's very rare for a juror to wind up testifying in a case that they actually sat on, but that's exactly what happened today. Eleanor Urbati was 50 years old when she was on the Jones jury, and today she was subpoenaed to appear in Plymouth District Court. And now, 31 years later, she saw him in court again.
Well, I recognized him right away because I knew he was tall. Of course, I knew he was black, and he was a good-looking kid. He was only a kid, for God's sakes, 19, 20, whatever he was. I felt terrible that he's been in jail all this time, and I didn't think he did it. And I never should have changed my mind.
But Bruce, the jury found Jones guilty. What was Urbati doing in court today?
Well, lawyers aren't allowed to speak with jurors before, during, after a case, but the U.S. Supreme Court ruled recently that if there was racial bias among jurors, then that would be grounds for a new trial. And that's what today's hearing was about. Jones filed a motion charging that the all-white jury was biased. 3 jurors testified earlier that they couldn't recall anything, but Urbati says she remembers that as soon as deliberations began, one man on the panel asked for a vote.
He said, I say guilty. And then I said, big mouth, how can you say he's guilty when we haven't even deliberated yet? I said, are you saying he's guilty because he's black? And he said, yes. There's no doubt in my mind about that conversation.
So, Bruce, you were the reporter who located Urbati after all these years. You were actually mentioned during today's hearing.
Yeah, that's right. At the end of my investigation, which took many months, I decided to call the jurors. I started with the unusual names, and of course, Urbati was first. I called her, and Jack, to my great surprise and astonishment, she answered, and it was as if she was waiting all these years for someone to ask her about the trial. Now, we've spoken many times, and today the judge wanted to know about our conversations. The judge also asked you whether you were influenced by a reporter. That would be me,
yeah.
Right?
You didn't influence me. You influenced me to do the story, but that was it. I mean, nothing you said would have made me change my mind about anything.
So, Bruce, Eleanor Urbati says she thought that Durrell Jones was innocent. Why did she end up voting to convict?
Yeah, right. So the jury deliberated for days, and twice they wrote to the judge that they couldn't reach a verdict, and twice the judge wrote back to them saying, go back and deliberate. Urbati was the last holdout, and she told me she thought he wasn't guilty right up to the end.
No, he was not guilty.
Why'd you change your mind?
Because I was feeling like, am I wrong? And all these people are right? And you feel intimidated?
You know, so Urbati told me that she cried as the verdict was being read, and she didn't know that Jones would be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. What's remarkable, Jack, is that after she testified, Edna Sawyer, who's Durrell Jones' mother, went up to Urbati in the courthouse hallway and gave her a big hug and recalled that they were both crying after the verdict was read.
And when you came in the bathroom, we was in there, and you broke down.
You broke down in my arms. And we cried.
Yeah, I remember crying. I know that.
I remember.
Well, I was crying terribly. I'm sorry till this day.
Oof. Yeah, so when I got back to the station after today's hearing, I got a call from Darrell Jones. He was back in prison, and he said that he had to keep from getting emotional, and he didn't recognize her body, but said, and I'm quoting here, Jack, "It felt good to let her get closure. As much as me, she didn't get no justice either. We know the truth."
Okay, what about the prosecutor?
Well, I just got a statement from the Plymouth County DA's office, and they say they're confident that the evidence shows there was no racial bias during the original trial deliberations. They're pleased Judge McGuire has taken his time to look into the allegations, and they're waiting for his decision.
Okay, so then when will we get that decision?
Not sure. Certainly not for at least a month. Judge McGuire really knows this case, and there is a lot to consider.
All right, WBUR senior reporter Bruce Kellerman. Bruce, thanks.
Thank you, Jack.